Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are, the last show of 2017.
I know, kind of flew by.
Yeah.
And good. I mean, it's interesting. We have, you know, a really good, a holiday season where this year falls on a really good date to get that extended weekend. It's not like midweek kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And they did, I guess the sales are up 4 or 5%, record breaking, bigger than 20 or at least biggest since 2005.
Yeah. You think that had to do with some of the dates that things fell on, or is that?
Yeah, I think it had something to do with it, but I also think everyone was in a happy mood. And except back east, they were, you know, getting snowed in, so there may be some balance there. But it didn't. If it went down, of course, they would have blamed those storms.
Yeah,
but it didn't go down, so they didn't blame the storms.
I mean,
here it was nice shopping.
They always
weather.
Blame the weather. Always blame the weather, no matter what happens. Blame the weather. It's the easiest cop out. Well, I'm just back from Cancun, Mexico, which was officially my last time going there.
Why?
I mean, it's it's nice, but it's not much going on there. I mean, I went to a beach party. Actually, this is kind of cool. On the beach, there's a little mandala beach club. And we went there for the day. And I'm like, well, how does this all work? Well, it's 400 pesos each. And I'm like, oh, just go on a beach to pay 400 pesos, which is like 20 bucks,
yeah.
20 bucks, 22 bucks. And I'm like, okay, but oh, no, but you get that money back in drinks and food. So what was cool about that was we actually were able to go on the beach and use all of the money to buy just beers and tequila shots and all these drinks and all the food. So we spent the whole day for $80 on the beach. $85 on the beach with beach chairs and umbrellas and full service. And really all it was the cost of the food and the drink.
Huh.
That was great.
Yes.
A lot of music going on. You know, they had we were just, if you want to go to the VIP section, it was it was 400. It was 1,000 pesos.
Who was in there?
Nobody.
Oh.
Nobody's stupid enough to pay the extra just to sit by the pool.
Yeah.
You know, with the dancers around the pool, the guys and the girls and the skimpy bikinis and bathing suits dancing and bottle service. But it was good. It was a nice time. We had some great street tacos. Went to the Ritz-Carlton one evening. Had a 42-ounce tomahawk steak last night. I actually shared that. It wasn't great. But yeah, no, it was a nice time.
Is that the one, if you eat the whole thing, you get your picture on the wall?
No. Not in this circumstance.
Yeah, it sounds like something for about 3-4 people.
Yeah, we had it for 3 people, and we weren't really enamored with it. It was good. It wasn't great.
Yeah.
I said to everybody, Cancun, Mexico is not the place to get meat. And like, oh.
No, isn't it like a fish place?
Yeah, you get fish, you get shrimps, you get, you know, that kind of stuff. It was interesting. Most of the menu was like, okay, you want the salmon from Alaska or the black cod from here.
Yeah, that baffles me.
I mean, like, where's the local fish?
Really?
You got a gigantic ocean right here. Where's the fish? There's like nothing on the menu that was local.
Hmm.
Anyway, so how was your Christmas with your family?
Our Christmas hasn't happened yet.
Why is that? You delayed it? What's happening?
No, well, there's a number of factors, but it's because everyone got scattered and there's all people here and there. We ended up with putting Christmas off until probably Saturday.
Oh, did you get my gift?
No, never came.
It said it was delivered.
Where was it delivered?
Well, I'll talk to you after the show, but the place I always send things to. Nothing was delivered?
No.
That's odd.
Well, maybe it'll come tomorrow.
Well, but it said it was delivered from Amazon.
Oh, well, they're wrong.
Obviously went to the wrong place. Yeah, I'll I'll check that out. All right, so what's going on with the markets here? We had, I guess, the end of the year as was expected, you know, kind of a Santa Claus rally into the end of the year, and these seasonal trends where you have a lot of marking up the books into the end of the year. You want to put the names that are the most exciting into the name, you know, into the books, so that when you send out your annual reports, they look really good. And we had a relatively bullish bias. We had the tax law passed. We had, you know, excitement over the fact that there's going to be a lot more earnings. And I think one of the things that happened, why we didn't see a major move in December or the latter part of December, was because a lot of the returns were pulled forward. They were pulled forward into the end of November as all that news was out with, you know, the tax and all that. So yeah. I think we're in kind of a consolidation period right now.
Well, it seems to me that the taxes, the whole tax thing was accounted for by the time Trump signed it.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting because they talked about how after it passed Congress and after it was, you know, both the House and the Senate passed it and then sent it over to the White House to be ratified and signed into legislation, that there would be about a 15-day period. That's the usual period it takes for the White House to go through any bill that is passed to make sure that, you know, everything is in agreement. And this 400-page, very detailed, you know, the largest, the most robust, the biggest tax reform in decades took 2 days to review and sign. How'd that happen?
Yeah. Well, my understanding is they did a puppet show for the president explaining the bill, and that's all it took.
A puppet show with real marionettes?
Yeah, Punch and Judy.
But do you think you actually read the 400 pages?
What do you think?
I think not. I mean, do you think anybody read it? Or it was just like, okay, let's just pass it.
Oh, no, there will be people who read it. There's a number of... There are people that are kind of the designated readers, and they're fast readers, and they can plow through the thing in one sitting, and or two, and they summarize, right? They take notes, summarize, and they that's what ends up being presented. Nobody's going to read that thing.
Do you think
you have your professional reader read it and then tell you what it says?
Do you like it? Yeah. Okay. Sign it. Did you? I've spoken to a few CPAs that feel there's going to be a good amount of technical corrections on this bill at, you know, coming up very shortly.
That could be.
So I guess they figure that why not just pass it? It's a great Christmas present. And everybody hopefully will like it. The ratings will go up. It's the holiday season. And then if we have to change a few things, we'll change a few things. I guess it's the MO on the whole thing here. But the other good news is that the government, the shutdown that was looming has been averted.
Yeah.
There was this temporary stopgap bill that was passed. I guess we got another, what, 2 or 3 weeks now until they have to do it again. Yeah. It just amazes me that we can't get Congress to, with all the time that they have dealing with this and all the people that are involved in the decision-making process and writing these bills, they just cannot get their act together to ever seemingly get this government shutdown thing on an annual basis passed in a reasonable period of time.
It's been going on forever since we started this show, and I think long before.
Yeah.
Years and years and years it's been going on.
So I guess we shouldn't, I shouldn't hold out the idea that maybe that something is going to change there.
Yeah, I know. Give up.
Give up. All right. All right, some highlights of 2017. I thought we'd go over some of the things that I kind of went through, just some of the things from the beginning of the year and the exciting things related to businesses, to business and finance and markets that were some of the highlights. Maybe you have a few things to add to this.
Maybe. I've been watching these summaries that have been, the news networks have been, the networks have been doing it on their news shows. And if you sat down and watched one, especially the news that they show on network TV, and you watch one of these summaries, you have to walk away depressed.
Why? And what with?
Because all they share, it's all horrible. We get the shootings in Manchester, and the guy's running over trucks, and another guy in a truck killing people left and right in Paris and in Moscow and everywhere and here. And then there's fires. All the whole state of California is burning to the ground. And then they keep cutting to these different people that are in tears, usually. My house is burning. And then they cut to something else. They cut to something else. And they do it real in a very staccato style that is. And by the time you're done, it's just all gloom and doom. I've never seen anything quite like it.
Well, I mean, we know that negative news sells better than positive news. I mean, you know, the old, the first baby born on New Year's, you know, you have that coming up soon, right?
Yeah.
That's good news. Okay. There's a baby born every year on New Year's. Who cares about that? What else would be, you know, the Statue of Liberty was redone. I don't know. I mean, it's just not as exciting as, you know, the highest level of new terrorism where cars
the
are mass now the weapon.
Shootings, the yeah. Vegas shooting right. And this shooting and that shooting. And we got to do something about it. What are we going to do? Nothing. And yeah. Okay. Well, let's go over but the business stuff, it can't be that bad since the market skyrocketed.
But one thing I want to mention here, because I just wanted to draw back something, this whole negative news and this commentary and the way this news cycle works and the with social media, something really ticked me off this weekend. Yeah. There was a guy who tweeted, hey, I'm on vacation. I'm down here in Florida. I'm giving you just a paraphrase and a backdrop of this. Unbelievable. There was a shooting at the Aventura Mall, which is about 20 miles south of where I am. There was a shooting at the Aventura Mall. Everybody, you know, was evacuated. And oh my God, somebody has to do something about this gun violence and selling guns and the NRA and, you know, this whole thing, that whole thing. Yeah. You know,
same old spiel.
The whole thing, you know, why isn't anybody with the guns and the whole thing and all that? Whether or not you're in favor or not, it's not the point, but it's, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
So I kind of, I said, geez, I'm out of town and there's a shooting right in my backyard and this is terrible. I look it up. There was no shooting. Somebody heard something that sounded like shots. They evacuated the mall. And what really ticked me off and what I then retweeted was, dude, how about a retraction? How about saying, no, I was mistaken. This didn't happen. Everybody just freaked out because they heard something, whether it was a car backfiring or an air conditioning unit, you know, making some weird noise or I don't know, whatever it was, right? But no, nothing like that. And it breeds this idea, oh, another shooting. And it's just terrible how...
Well, when we were in London recently, like a couple weeks ago, the Oxford Circus tube station, there was the same thing. It was a panic, people running out of the station. There's a shooting, guns shooting, people being shot, and had to shut down that part of town, or millions of police came in. And it turned out that there was just a fracas. There was no shooting at all, turns out, next day. No shooting, no guns. There was just a couple of guys got into a fist fight. And I guess they were yelling at each other or something. And then somebody yelled, they've got a gun, you know, which is kind of almost a joke.
Yeah.
Or something in a movie. He's got a gun. And then people go nuts. And it was a big waste of everybody's time.
Yeah. And like I said, the problem I have and the biggest problem, and hopefully, which we're not going to, but see something where there's some just... It wouldn't be journalistic honesty because it's not journalism. It's social media scare tactics along the lines of whatever your particular personal beliefs are that spread the information, whether it's true or not.
Yeah, that's very common.
That's just terrible. Down with social media. Hoping there's going to be some kind of a revolt.
Well, good luck.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the highlights of 2007. So here we go. We got
2017.
What did I say? 11?
Seven.
Oh, 2017. Yeah, bring it up a decade.
Time's flying.
On average, the VIX has been at a historical low throughout the entire year.
Yeah, that was just wild to me.
I still think it's this whole strategy to sell volatility whenever volatility picks up. And there's a lot of this going on because everybody believes the VIX is going to go down because we're going to see calm markets, which we have seen, generally speaking. But these, you add to that now there's a strategy involved that a lot of people are doing where anytime the VIX moves up, they sell it. They sell into it. So, you know, you get down by the nines or so in the VIX, and then it stabilizes, it moves up to 12 maybe. Then it comes right back down. We have a situation where we have, some crazy event or a market that sells off a bit, goes up a bit, and then they sell it right back down. So it doesn't even hold higher because you have these
VIX. No, it doesn't. It's right. Wild.
Yeah, because you have these VIX strategies.
It used to.
It did, but you didn't have people actively going out because people were nervous about this. But with the Fed being as dovish as they are, with the tax reform being what it is, with passive investing that is providing a significant amount of complacency, I think what's happening is that why not? It's been working for such a great amount of time to just sell volatility that just short the VIX and happy days are here.
I can't believe that's going to continue to work for the next few years.
If it doesn't work, let me just say there's going to be a real problem because all of these strategies are going to get upended and all of a sudden have to cover and go the other direction. And it's going to be a big spike and pretty ugly.
So well, that sounds good if you're long VIX.
Yeah. So you may have a dislocation, right? So you may have markets not necessarily getting, you know, just absolutely obliterated and the VIX starting to climb or even spike higher if things turn around.
Yeah. We'll see. Well, it could also go up someplace and stick somewhere other than 9.
Yeah. Or below 10, right? Maybe like the 12s. I think the long-term average is closer to, well, if you include this year too, it's probably closer to about 12 and a half, 13. For a long time, 15 was the number. 15 was standard. 15 is what I always looked at. 15 was the number on VIX. And then and now it's 10, 11. What else happened this year? Cryptocurrencies became a household word. That is, I can't even begin to tell you that every time I turn around, this is how bad it's become. I bumped into somebody that I know. Just when I say no, it's an acquaintance in Cancun. And I don't even know how the topic got to this point within about 30 seconds about Litecoin and Bitcoin. I'm like, I didn't bring it up. I'm like, because I guess they know I'm in finance. So, oh, what's going on with Bitcoin? I'm like, okay. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Every kid. I told you the story last week where.
Yes, you did.
Crazy. Blockchain is all the rage. Nobody knows what the hell it is, but they blockchain. You say blockchain, it's like, whoa. They don't know the difference between blockchain and cryptocurrencies, but they know that something has to do with something there.
The great buzzword that has meaning that nobody understands.
Blockchain. Every day there's a new company. Like last week, the Long Island Iced Tea Company. Did we talk about that last week?
Yeah, we did. Oh, and also, by the way, I was watching some TV advertising that IBM is pushing their blockchain technology, even though what is it? What is that supposed to mean?
Yeah, everybody's big into blockchain. I was thinking about changing my name to Andrew Blockchain Horowitz on Twitter. I figured I'll get like 10 billion new Twitter followers.
You get a lot of followers, because I could change my name to the C stands for blockchain.
Yeah, there you go. We've seen historic tax reforms are cut signed. We're going to still find out whether or not this is going to be good or bad. I was all excited about the pass-through entities, but you know, getting a reduction, and I've heard, well, maybe it's not going to be so good.
Yeah, well, I had some issues. I'll tell you this. The one good thing, I have a lot of property, and, you know, if you have own property, you don't pay your taxes. You pay them when you have to. But you don't, you can be fall behind. It's not a big deal. You just pay them.
Right.
So I got caught up. Whatever property I own is, taxes have been paid.
Right.
Into next year, you know, as best I could. And I went to the woman up there because I wanted to get this done before the end of the year because I'm going to be screwed because in California, you can only, or actually everywhere, you can only take $10,000 off on a combination of income tax, property tax, all these taxes, sales tax. If you buy a car, an expensive car, you're going to have to pay 10% of sales tax. So you've buy $40,000 car, just $4,000 right there, and in California anyway. But you got all this property tax to pay, so you pay the taxes right to the minute. And I went to the woman who was putting the bill together because on this one property I hadn't paid it for a long time, and she puts the bill together, and I say, is there any way you can push this out like another 6 months into next year? Because I'm paid a little bit in the next year, but can you push it further? And she says, no, you can only do what it comes up when the computer asks for the money. And I said, you know the reason why I'm asking, right? And she says, yep, everyone's doing
it. Everybody's doing it.
So this is a little interesting angle. all the counties and everybody that's responsible for collecting property tax, they're going to all be loaded with cash because people, especially in California, you usually let your property taxes kind of you lax about them for about 2 to 3 years in some situations, but everyone is in. So there's a lot of money coming in.
There's one caveat to this, though. It seems that you could prepay your taxes or your property taxes as long as your state is billing you in arrears. If they're billing you in advance, there could be a problem. Some states have billing in advance.
Well, the way it works in California is that they bill you once a year, I believe is once a year, could be twice. But it's for 6 months, last 6 months of the year, and then the next 6 months of the next year. So you're billed up to June or July of 2018. And so you don't have to pay it all at once. You pay usually 1 year and then the next. But you can pay to the July of or June of 2018, but then you can't pay beyond that.
That's so good. Yeah. So now that they're going to be flush, first of all, they'll mismanage that and they won't think that they got paid in advance. So what they'll do is keep on spending. No,
they know they've been paid in advance. I'm sure of that. Or is best. They just know everyone's caught up. Yeah. So they got a bunch of money they wouldn't normally have.
Well, that's good.
But it's not going to last. I mean, the next go around, it's all going to be tight. Because there's not going to be anybody else pulling this, you know, for the next few years, probably.
So the question is, are they going to be able to manage this? What I'm saying is it, or are they going to just be, you know, what they usually do is not manage things very well.
No, they don't. They do a poor job.
Right. So that's now they're true. So next year they're going to be screwed. Oh, we didn't get enough money in because of this. But wait, you got paid in advance. Oh yeah, but that money was spent on something else.
Yeah,
that's what they'll
do. They'll screw it up somehow, they do have the money.
Yeah. We also have the Me Too uprising, which threw many politicians and Hollywood names out and continues to wreak all sorts of problems on various industries. Although we haven't seen anything in the last few days that I remember.
No, it's starting to die down because
good.
I predicted that it would start dying down because it was all designed to keep an awareness at a high level so that guy from Arkansas wouldn't get, or where he's from, Georgia, Arkansas, one of the two, wouldn't get elected. Mm. That Judge Roy Moore.
Yeah.
Georgia, I think. Georgia.
No, not Georgia. That was
Alabama.
Yeah, Alabama. Right. Yeah, riding in and out on his horse. Goodbye. The Dow Jones Industrial makes 70 new highs this year. We're not done yet. A little over 70. I think it was 70. Yeah, 70 new highs this year. That was kind of a new thing. Interest rates rising and more hikes are scheduled, at least, I don't know, supposedly 2 or 3. But there's some question as to whether or not that's going to happen. I will tell you, though, and we'll talk about this in a second, with all of the recent announcements of additional bonuses across the board for many employees, the $1,000, you know, all of a sudden we have this rash of announcements of we're going to give each employee $1,000 because of the new tax bill and increase the minimum rate that we pay everybody in a company at least to $15 or so. We could see an increase in the wage pressure wage growth and wage inflation. And that may cause the Fed to rethink things. That's one of their big issues aside from just inflation. So we saw that. Hurricanes, we know that they're causing all sorts of havoc around U.S. mainland, the Caribbean. I mean, what is it, 110 days now? That Puerto Rico is still out of power, about 90% of the island. Wildfires in California. Populism uprising all over the world. I'm still not totally 100% clear on what populism is. Are you? I mean, it takes different forms.
Well, generally speaking, it is a political appeal to the masses.
Versus what? I mean, what? Why wouldn't that always be the case? You know, you're trying to get as many people on board on what you're doing.
Well, yeah, but it usually entails promises either that can't be met or promises of, you know, free money, just anything to get people to be all in with whatever it's a sketchy term. I agree.
Is it the idea of bridging the gap from the little guy to government?
Maybe.
Well, seemingly populism, the word at least, has had a big uptick. And that's going on. We have AI and bots taking over customer service, which I hope that that doesn't, I mean, it's going to last. It's going to get bigger.
Well, I don't think it's very good. It just annoys the customers because you still got to get to some person because these bots and AI, they can only solve the simplest of requests.
I told you the best one I did was Geico. It took me a good few minutes to realize I wasn't talking to a person.
Oh, you got one of the bots that could talk?
Yeah, so when you go on Geico. Oh,
those are fabulous.
Well, this one was a chat bot.
Was it a man or a woman?
It was a woman, but I was on the Geico site, and there's a little box. You need any help? I'm like, okay, yes,
what I need help. What are you talking about? Oh, this was not a verbal one where talked to it.
No, it was a chat.
The little chat thingies. Yeah, those are all pretty decent.
Yeah, it took me a while to figure it out. Then I'm like, oh, you know what? Oh, man.
You can ask them. You can ask them if you're a bot or you a person.
Really? They'll tell you. They'll say, yes, I'm a bot?
Yeah, they kind of tell you that. Yeah. And it depends on their terminology or what they're allowed to do. But when you talk to you ever got to talk to a vocal one of the robot?
No, I haven't had that opportunity.
Oh, my God, it's fantastic.
Really?
It's the most amazing thing. When you first run into it, there's ways you can figure it out. I mean, it actually takes you about 3 or 4 exchanges before it dawns on you. You're talking to a robot. Voice is dynamite. Very pleasant voice, speaks deliberately, asks the right questions, takes input well until you decide to ask it if it's a bot. And then there's the thing that happens once in a while if you ask a real, or if you do something really crazy and you say to it, what kind of car do you drive? Oh. Out of the blue.
Oh.
And then what happens, and this is what the giveaway, generally speaking, until you ask it if it's a bot. And I put that off. I try to do some other things just to play with them. You ask them, like, what kind of car do you drive? And then you get this really ridiculous long delay. It just goes dead silent for about 20 seconds. It's really a long time. And because it doesn't have it in its database to answer this question. So, and then it comes back and says, that's not important or something like that. And they say, are you a bot? And then they say, we use a lot of different technologies to communicate with the customers and kind of indicates. And they ask her again, are you a bot? And then you get another answer. And then they eventually, I believe she admitted it to me at some point. But it's dynamite. It is so cool.
Do they then send you to a live customer service person?
This one never did.
Never did. Yeah. Well, I mean, some of it's good, but at the same time, it's just so, I don't know. I mean, I know they're trying to make it warm and fuzzy and a human, but somehow it leaves me a little empty.
Well, you're talking about the little one you're right to. You go back and forth. Those are pretty decent. I mean, yeah, I know what you mean because once in a while they give you canned. The problem I have with the little service assistant that shows up on the web page and drops down. Can I help you?
Right.
You have any questions? You start asking them questions and all you get is canned answers.
Yeah. It happened when that no matter what I asked, the answer was so quick and it kept on giving me links to places. Like I'm thinking, how does this person know exactly where to send me so quickly?
Right. Yeah. That's a flaw.
Yeah. So, but at the same, it's the whole idea is to emulate the customer service experience but it's doing it with a machine where therefore just by definition is not a customer service experience.
No, it's not at all. So might as well just give you a book and you look it up yourself.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what it's doing.
Yep. So hopefully that will, I don't know. We'll see. What else is happening? Online shopping takes over brick and mortar. Well, we had a higher level of online shopping this year during especially the holiday season than the traditional brick and mortar stores, which we did see that situation growing to a crescendo towards the end of the third quarter into the fourth quarter of this year, where we saw companies like, you know, Sears and JCPenney and Macy's and Kohl's and Dillard's and Dick's and you name it, just get kiboshed. Mm. And actually, more recently, when we saw that the MasterCard spending pulse report said that, as you mentioned, holiday sales up 4.9%, which was about a percent and change better than last year, the highest growth since 2011 during the holiday season, all of a sudden these stocks started taking off. Combination of a short squeeze as well as a realization that maybe they're not done. Although you tweeted something today with a picture, this Hilltop Mall.
Oh, I got a bunch of pictures. There's actually three tweets. Yeah, Hilltop Mall. I went there on Saturday. I sometimes shop on Christmas Eve, but this time I went on Saturday, I believe. Maybe it was Sunday. I don't think so. But that's supposed to be the second biggest shopping day, the Saturday before Christmas, and second only to Black Friday. The place was, you saw the pictures.
Yeah, empty.
Empty. The place was empty. It was deserted. It was half the stores were closed. And so after that, I ran into somebody suggested this, the Dead Mall series, which I have to say, it's on YouTube. It's called the Dead Mall series. You can just look it up and you'll find some. This guy has been mostly in the East Coast. He's been going from mall to mall to mall, reporting on these places. And it is borderline. You might want to, you know, have something to drink because it's depressing.
Yeah.
And he also tries to explain why he thinks some of these malls are going broke, and a lot of them have already gone broke, and they're just deserted. It's unbelievably, it's a downer. And I'm kind of like, I like what this guy's looking at because he's seeing a lot of presentations and crappy looking. It looks like these stores look like junk stores, you know, these, and Penny's, I guess, is a good example of this. You know, they had that guy coming in trying to fix it, make it look modern, and he couldn't do it. And if you compare some of these stores to, like, for example, Target, which is a store I don't mind going to, Target's kind of modern. It's got kind of the right layout. Walmart's got a nice layout pretty much, even though some people hate the place. It's like somebody dropped the ball on retail.
Well, I think they just got – I think it was like a deer in the headlights when they saw some of the things that were going on. And the pickup of shopping habits changing toward online, which made it so much, because one of the things they did was they it seems that everything was now available, where all these places decided, you know what, if you can't beat them, join them. Let's just put our stuff online. Let's go on Amazon as a third party seller. Or whatever site it was.
Well, that's kind of given up when you do that. Here's an interesting factoid, and I'm beside myself and befuddled by the two stores. The first one to go out of business was Montgomery Ward's, and then Sears is having nothing but trouble. And then they, of course, bought Kmart, didn't help. And these operations were started off as catalog businesses.
Yeah,
both of them. Mm-hmm. And they had these huge, and I remember the Montgomery Ward's catalog when I was a kid, because that was the place we used to go to and our family. It was monstrous. It was like the New York phone book. And the Sears catalog maintained this. The Sears catalog, they stopped producing it, coincidentally, the same year that Amazon started up.
Hmm.
And I've always been baffled by the fact that why couldn't Sears, which was in a catalog mail order business, just move the catalog to online immediately?
Right, because that's all that online is a catalog.
Yeah. Don't you think that these two companies, Montgomery Ward's and Sears, could have made the transition by having somebody that knew how to turn a computer on, made the transition to be doing what Amazon is doing and have a huge head start on Amazon, which started off as a bookseller and killed Amazon. But they didn't even consider this.
And this is like, remember Luria's? Did you have a Luria's?
No, we never have a Luria's.
Luria's was, there was two places very similar. Luria's, and I don't remember the other name of the place, but you would walk into the store and they would have like just a few showcases inside the store, which had like jewelry and maybe some other little gadgets and a few other things. And then you'd walk up to a catalog. You'd walk up to the catalog and you'd flip through the pages of the catalog, you'd usually have one at home too, but you'd say, I want this. And you'd write your order down or whatever. You hand it to the guy, goes in the back some for a little while and comes back with your product. And no different, same day delivery.
And Montgomery Ward's had a store in Oakland. It wasn't a store. It was a giant warehouse.
Right, exactly.
It was huge. It was about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 stories high. Big, giant concrete building that took forever to demolish. And they had about 3 floors of showroom where you'd go in there and you could, you know, buy stuff, or you could just go through the catalog or bring your catalog order in and go up to a counter and they'd go bring it. They had most of the stuff at this warehouse. It just, the whole thing just seems to me that Amazon kind of reinvented an old wheel.
Right.
And they've took all these guys out. What were they thinking? What were all these companies? I mean, was the management at the time so stupid that they couldn't figure this out?
Yeah, it's amazing to me. And it's amazing how
I would put pennies in that same camp.
Right, right.
But not as bad. Those two though, Montgomery Ward's and Sears Roebuck. It was just it's the same business that Amazon's running. It's astonishing.
Yeah, I mean it's like, but the interesting thing is how old things become new, and you know, new things become old. Where Amazon, which is only online, is now going to brick and mortar. The story about the Polaroid, my daughter brought her Polaroid camera with her to Cancun. And we're taking pictures. I'm like, I can't believe we're taking pictures. Then what they do is they're taking, so I thought it was really cool. Okay, well, you want to take a picture with the Polaroid and then you want to lay it out and take a picture of that to put on Instagram so it looks like the Polaroid thing with the border around it and the thick bottom border.
Yeah. You know,
but no.
Right.
Now they're taking it borderless. I'm like, wait a minute. If you take a borderless picture, it doesn't even look like a Polaroid.
Yeah, no, it just looks like a photo.
Yeah. I mean, so what is that?
Why don't you just use your digital camera?
That's what I said. And to finish it off, let's just finish off what else is 2017 mass shootings, which we're not going to belabor. We talked about that already. And the idea that passive investing has become the only way to invest. Why bother investing in anything other than the fact that, well, I'll just buy the NASDAQ, I'll buy the S&P 500, I'll just buy the small caps and be done with it. Don't even do the research anymore. And that's why a lot of the volatility has been wrung out of markets.
Yeah, yeah, if you're just going to buy index funds.
Yeah. Now, venturing into some more of the interesting news items and things that are going on, you saw the news that Papa John's founder, John Schnatter, will step down as CEO next month. After about two months ago, he publicly criticized the NFL over their national anthem protest by football players. So here's a lesson that I think we learned about this. Never disparage a sitting king or queen and never criticize the NFL.
Sounds right.
Right? If you're in a position that you're making money somehow from the NFL and you're involved with them.
Yeah, shut up.
Yeah, the NFL is a little too powerful to be messing with. So
yeah.
Papa John's, his founders, the guy that's in all the commercials too. So now
they're
going to have to come up with a new commercial, something to, you know, better with the Papa John's. Continue on in the restaurant arena, Subway stores. Have you eaten in a Subway lately?
I once.
How long ago?
Well, it was a few years back. It was in one of the New York City subways and I went in there. Because I was hungry and I was headed to the airport and I needed to get something because I was starving to death. And I had some sandwich or other. I found it to be mediocre.
Yeah. I don't like how they pre-cut all that meat and put it between paper and then just, you know, pull it out when they need it.
Yeah, well, there's that. But I think it's most of these places, I would say Togo's and Arby's and all these places, it's the quality of the meat itself. It seems to be really low end.
Yeah, there's a lot of pump in it.
It's not tasty.
No. You know, they currently have about 25,000 stores in the United States. I think it was a time, or maybe it's currently still the case, that they have the most retail chains of any fast food operation in the U.S.
Hmm.
They had 26,007. They're closing 3% of the stores.
Well, one of the things I should mention, that, which is probably, I won't go to the Subway after I heard this. There was, is been told a number of times by a number of the franchisees. You set up a franchise and you do it in some, you find the location, you put it up. If it becomes super successful, Subway will open an owned and operated store right next to you.
Next to you?
Within
a quarter mile, let's say, or something like that.
Yeah.
Really? That's not
nice. And people have bitched about this. I don't know if they're still pulling this. I mean, it's almost like Starbucks pulls some stunts like this. We had a place that was an ice cream parlor in Berkeley on Solano Avenue, and it was Ortman's. This guy was a local, kind of a celebrity. He made this great ice cream, and he was retiring, so he's going to sell the location. He said, "I am not selling it to Starbucks." Mm. And so he sold it to a middleman, and they sold it to Starbucks. Starbucks had this middleman that they used to pull this stunt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's business. Some other things. Eric Schmidt is transitioning from Alphabet's executive chairman to a technical advisor role.
Yeah. I guess I have no idea why.
He made enough money. He doesn't need the aggravation, I think. He's worth like $40 billion or something like that.
He became an overnight billionaire just by taking this job in the first place.
We got some things on drug prices. It seems that another company is back in this whole, pumping the price deal. There's a drug that helps to control temporary bouts of immobility and muscle weakness caused by a rare genetic illness called periodic paralysis, which I guess means every once in a while you get paralyzed.
Yeah.
It's called Darinide. So it was $50.
Yeah. Old orphan drug.
Yeah. $50 for a bottle of 10 pills in the early 2000s. Then it went up to $13,600 in 2015. Then it plummeted back down to free before a new company, Stonebridge Biopharma, bought it. And now it's at $15,000 per 100.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to love that bullshit.
I can't believe the government hasn't cracked down on this.
I mean, they said the government's
supposed to. The government's supposed to be have something to do with this sort of thing, but they do nothing.
And now you have Gottlieb in there as the FDA, in the FDA, and the whole FDA that is kind of being reworked to allow for more drugs to come out a lot easier, streamline the entire process. And it seems, back to the whole let's remove regulatory constraints and it just seems like.
Yeah. Thalidomide is coming your way.
Oh, gosh. That's terrible. That's terrible. You probably, this next item on the list, you probably know about this because I believe if I'm not incorrect here, your son is a gamer. Is that a correct statement?
It seems like the whole family is.
Okay. There's something called gaming disorder. Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
So now it's soon to be classified as a mental health condition. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. I don't think any of the kids that in my family are that far gone, but I do know people that are.
That they're addicted to video games.
Yeah. They're just addicted because they have to keep playing these games and they can't get away from it. But it's the same thing. People are addicted to checking their email on the phone constantly or their messages. That's an illness.
So is it going to be a warning, a Surgeon General's warning on the side of Xbox games?
Probably should be.
This is highly addictive.
Or this game is lousy.
Well, it's just going to, what this will do is just open up an entire area in psychology, so psychologists can now bill for he's got gaming disorder. And sometimes he goes a little bit limp, so we're going to prescribe for him that Darren died. let's see here. What do we got? Facebook. Facebook is getting rid of their fake news red flags.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this, of course, because I don't use Facebook.
There's something about how. I still wish there was a thumbs down or a dislike button. There's kind of that red face thing that you can put on there, like you're angry. But instead of liking something, I don't like it. I would just like to have that in Twitter also. But Facebook has some kind of a fake news red flag that you could put on an item. The problem was that it seemed that people were just using that if they didn't like the story or the angle. So what happened is that that then was becoming a problem because it was being reported on a constant basis. And people would,
So it was making the fake news or real news, whatever it was, more popular.
But exactly. So they're taking that off, and now it's doing something like they're going to do a they had some kind of disputed warning next to articles to alert people that third party fact checking websites deem them misleading. I guess like Snopes or whatever it is. Now it's showing a section of related articles next to offending stories instead to give people context of the whole thing. I guess from start to
Facebook was a social networking company, not a news, a newspaper.
Yeah. Well, it seems it's turned into a newspaper and the journalists are the average people that just write down whatever they want that they think rather than any kind of research.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what it is. I mentioned before that companies are announcing these big raises, one-time bonuses after the tax bill is passed. Now, this is very interesting. You and I can deconstruct this a little bit. Several companies, the first ones that, instantaneously, once it passed, there was a few companies that came out with things like, well, we're going to raise the minimum wage to $15 for all the people, across the board at our company. Of course, people making more are not going to get that. And they're providing a one-time $1,000 bonus to all employees across the board. So who did we have? For example, Comcast, AT&T, Wells Fargo. Now, it seems to me that Comcast and AT&T and Wells Fargo, there's something going on. Wells Fargo is under review due to their very bad activities that they've had with opening up the fake accounts and charging for the insurance deals and all this.
Yeah.
Scamming. AT&T wants to make sure that merger goes through. Comcast got their guy, with the net neutrality and all that. Is this just doing a little bit of a paying for influence?
Yeah, but paying who?
Well, it's saying, the president, who's like, if we do this, it's going to be big money back to everybody. And then these companies are showing all this stuff. Remember when all these people were all of a sudden out of we're building a new factory. They built that one in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think your theory is kind of reasonable, except for a couple of factors.
Yeah.
And since Comcast is first on the list, I'll mention this factor because you think this, the whole thing is to kiss the president's ass, I think is what you're summarizing.
Yeah.
But Comcast runs MSNBC and NBC, and these guys do nothing but hound the president. Comcast isn't going to get a break for doing this. I think Comcast at some point is going to get screwed over by the government.
So there's nothing they could do, and this is just not going to help.
No, okay. It's not going to help. There's no way.
Well, I don't know. It just seemed very weird that all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they're all doing $1,000 bonuses to employees.
I think your point was well taken on the last show when you mentioned you can you do these things like instantly without consulting the board, having a meeting.
Yeah.
It was like ready. They had to get they were locked and loaded. They just boom.
And it happened like in 3 days. Bang, 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 bang. Everybody was announcing.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
One after the next. Well, Christmas was nice for some people. It was a little bit of a crappy Christmas for some. You probably know what happened here. A gift wrap package addressed to U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin's home was delivered in his nice Los Angeles neighborhood. It was expected initially of being a bomb, but instead it was filled with horse manure. The package included a Christmas card with negative comments about President Donald Trump and the new U.S. tax law signed by Trump last week. I think they may have. I think they knew who the guy is.
Well, they probably do.
It was weird. It was delivered to his neighbor. I don't know if because he wasn't home. So like, okay, just deliver to our neighbor if we're not there.
Well, I think guy's just some crackpot.
Can you get arrested for sending horse shit to somebody?
That's the question you need to ask.
I mean, is it illegal to send a box full of crap to somebody? I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was. Well,
it could be considered toxic or right. Some waste material. I'm sure there there's some law against doing it, especially if it's done maliciously.
And if he sent it over state lines, it could be a federal offense for like some kind of mail fraud or something.
Well, it wouldn't be mail fraud.
But mail.
But it would be something. Terrorism. It could be guy. Terrorism. Now you're talking. That's a good catch all.
All right. Our last Fed limerick for 2017.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. You know, you're the grader. Here we go. Ready? The markets were happy with Bernanke. He gave away money with no fee. He had a nice. Let me start again. The markets were happy with Bernanke. He gave away money with no fee. He had a nice beard, but he was quite weird when he spoke to us on the TV. Need an extra word in the end there, I think.
There's something amiss with this one. Yeah, this one doesn't work on a lot of levels.
Yeah.
I'm giving you a D for this one. That's the worst yet.
End of the year on a bad note. All right. Have to regroup. You can follow John C. Dvorak on Twitter at TheRealDvorak. Make sure you do that as your New Year's resolution to make sure you follow him and me on Twitter. And of course, if you want to send us something aside from a box full of horse shit, you can donate to the show over on DH Unplugged. Click on the donate button. If you haven't donated this year after all the times we've mentioned it, you should pretty much feel awful, but you could feel rewarded if you go over and you actually click that button and do it. Thank you so much for all the people who have donated throughout the year. Very much appreciated. Everybody gets a personal note back, by the way, when you do donate. So thank you so much. The close to the pin couple will be announced this Friday. Well, we'll know the winner this Friday. We'll announce on the next show. Old Codgers versus Millennials. Old Codgers up 12.7% versus 31% for the Millennials since inception. We're running a little bit out of time, but I have to. This is a section of today's show and only today right now. We're going to call it Kudos to Dvorak. I think we got two of them. We got two of them. Ready? First one, as I call, my name is Dvorak called it. Starting as early as next year, regarding Apple, software developers will be able to design a single application that works with a touchscreen or mouse and trackpad, depending on whether it's running on the iPhone, the iPad, or on Mac hardware. So this goes to your story that Apple is looking like it may start to phase out the Mac in favor of other devices.
I stick with this. People have condemned me, of course.
Naturally.
But I'm not thinking along the lines that, I mean, phasing out is one thing. I think they should spin it off the way HP did with a number of companies. Because you can spin it off as the Macintosh Corporation and let them continue to develop it. And you'd end up with another hit of cash. I mean, Apple doesn't have enough money.
Yeah.
So they could get another hit of cash by selling off this whole division, going public with it as a new company. I think they could do quite well.
Why not just spin off all their hardware and keep the hardware and services separate?
Yeah, they could do that.
Mm-hmm. So you called that, by the way, and that was a little bit more of information that's flowing to confirm your assertion.
Yeah, somebody could call me out and say, you can't develop for the pad, you can't develop for anything without the Macintosh. And then they drop this bomb about a week later, the one you just mentioned. Yeah, apparently you will be able to develop for the iPad without the Mac.
Yep. Apple also today or last week addressed claims that there was an app company that said that the maker of the iPhone slows down the performance of older phones. We all know this. We all like, hey, what the hell is with this old phone? Maybe it's the software updates. Maybe it's, I don't know. Everybody was confused, but I think it was a very well known and just under the surface that everybody's, you know, once the phone gets to a certain age, it gets slow. And now Apple confirmed.
Yeah, they do it on purpose.
Yeah, that they actually do slow this down. They said that that the company does take some measures to reduce power demands, which can have the effect of slowing the processor due to the fact that batteries get older. They get kind of, I guess, you know, with all the different charging that you do. But when it has This.
Well, by the way, there's a fix for that. What you just described.
Which is what?
But you can get a third party battery and put it in that phone, and your brand new battery, that's done. You got it fixed.
Right? If there was that ability to do that, which I suppose there is.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Yes,
correct. Can't do it. Can't take it apart. It's one piece. It's, you know, soldered, fused, or, you know, unable to.
Yes, fused.
Void your warranty. You can go down a list of things here. So what's happening is that it seems that when the battery is having trouble supplying the peak current at the processor, they slow it down. Now all of a sudden they're coming out with a fix, by the way. So, and then today we saw that analysts are now reducing the estimates of next quarter's iPhone X demand from 45 million units to 30 million. The stock was down about 2.5%. Many of the suppliers came down with it. Now for our second part of Dvorak Calls It Again, or kudos to Dvorak, Uber Technologies should be classified as a transport service and regulated like other taxi companies, the European Union's top court said in a landmark ruling last week that could impact other online businesses in Europe. You've been saying since day one, what is this ride-sharing crap?
Yeah, it's bull crap is what it is. It's a taxi.
Yeah, it's a taxi. That's a
gypsy cab, technically.
Yeah. Two more things that I really want to get out here because this one was interesting, and then we'll get to the few things in the stock picks. But it seems that Jack in the Box is partnering with a digital media company backed by rapper Snoop Dogg on a new Munchie Meal aimed at cannabis enthusiasts.
Oh, yes, right. I saw this on the news. This is very funny. Yeah. Specifically designed for stoners. By a stoner.
I guess is when it is the first.
Hey man, could I get a peanut butter and jelly taco?
I could totally get, if you're really stoned, having one of those horrible but yet delicious fried tacos from Jack in the Box, which we don't have down here. I have to go to California somewhere else to get a Jack in the Box taco. They're horrible but yet delicious.
Well, the burrito, the plain bean burrito, is probably the only go-to thing I ever eat from those guys because it's just a beans and tortilla. I mean, it's a very classic Mexican thing. Everything else is fake.
So they're going to be calling this the Merry Munchie Meal. It'll be available at three California locations starting the week of January for $4.20. Featuring two.
Oh, I didn't get that at first. Yeah. That's funny.
Yep.
$4.20.
Featuring two tacos, French fries, onion rings, five mini churros, three chicken strips, and a small drink. Now, that's a bargain.
Sounds like it. You'd probably want to split that with someone.
That's pretty. It's two tacos, French fries, onion rings, five mini churros. Wow. You just need like some kind of like a chocolate shake to go with that and really just do yourself in.
Yeah, there you go. That would be ideal.
The last thing was a company name. This is kind of interesting. How do you pronounce this? Energis. A company called Energis, symbol WATT, Watt. Stock was up 75% today after the bell. This is a company that's developing a very unique charging capability.
Blockchain charging.
They have something called the WATT transmitter. And this is a router that purports to charging devices wirelessly using radio frequency projections.
Yeah.
So it's the first of its kind.
Little Tesla action there is what
it
is.
But at a distance charging, I guess you just put your phone anywhere and it charges it.
Probably charging your brain too, I might add.
Well, I would think so. And last but not least, what is John C. Dvorak writing for PC Magazine? You know, we didn't have an under, the chat room does not have an under over here.
Yeah, Well, they could have gone on the over because I forgot already. It's a good column.
I'm sure it is.
Let's see what I can. I'm predicting I went back to discuss for the third time the Microsoft Surface phone.
What could you be going back to since it's not there anymore?
Well, no, it's not there yet. But a lot of people actually have noticed these new patents that Microsoft is getting for this phone. These patents that are all about bendable technology, so you can have a folding phone. And that's not completely new. I think the idea of perhaps doing what I call a cuff phone, which would be like a wristwatch, only it's a big giant cuff. It's a big cuff that has a phone on the surface of this thing, because you can do that now with OLEDs that bend. And I've seen something similar to this 3 years ago, and the guy was wearing it. It's like a big, it's like a phone that's been bent around his wrist. And I thought some of the different kinds of things that could it could be why it would be useful. It would replace the watch, and it would be kind of cool if you're a nerd. And you could have it so the display lights up, and it would be great at parties because it would be all lit up, doing like designs, things. Anyway, that's what the column is about.
I will give you a confirmation. I have somewhat of an inside source at Microsoft, and I have heard that in 2018, they are, in fact, coming out with some foldable devices.
Yeah.
So that is confirmed. Well, at least from my sources.
At the end of the column, I say look for some foldable devices sometime soon.
Yeah.
And as long as the company doesn't fold.
Ah.
Ayo.
Ba-dum-bum. All right, let's take a look at the stocks. Now, I had a question for you on the stocks. We're going to go over to this and look at the weekly stock picks. You can find this on dhunplugged.com, of course, on the right-hand side. Just click it, and you can check out what's going on with each and every stock that we talk about. It's a game that we play. It's not a buy or sell recommendation of any sort. As a matter of fact, it's very aggressive to think about buying individual stocks. You could lose a lot of money. Don't blame us. If you do decide, whatever reason, to buy any of these stocks or short any of these stocks or do anything with this, please do your research yourself, because we're not taking responsibility. We'll have some disclosures on there and you'll know some things. Now, I have a question for you on a logistics standpoint.
Yeah.
Are we going to clear these off for next year?
No, it's someone we just put on this week.
Just asking. Just making sure that the systems
We did that a number of years ago, and I didn't think it worked out for us.
Actually, you know what we did? We said we allowed ourselves to either go through them and say, yay, it stays on, or no.
Well, that's what we did last year, but a couple of years ago, we just cleared everything.
Right.
And it was a huge mistake.
Yeah. So there's a natural cleansing going on anyway. You know, we have about...
Yes, I'm noticing this.
Five or six that are coming off of here, but...
My short was kicked off.
The long fin?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kicked off, which was good because it was up 32% today. But still, those names, that's the Long Island Iced Tea one, right? You made 22% on it, on the short.
Yeah, I did, even though it got kicked off. That's one show.
It was 2 days.
Yeah, 2 days.
And then it just went down and it was went back up. Off. I think it went down a lot more than that too. I think it actually closed today to like 54.
Oh. It's still a moneymaker for two days' work.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many more of these. I mean, every day there's a new one that changed their name to something.
Yeah.
But all these stocks went crazy today. Once again, we saw Bitcoin drop. Bitcoin, by the way, had the worst week last week since 2013. It dropped down from like, I think the high of 17,005 or 18,000. It was even higher than this, but last week went from 18,000. It dropped to like, I don't know, under 12, and then leveled off a bit. And then, of course, after the weekend into Sunday, it started ramping back. Futures opened. Futures got halted again. You know, this is a disaster, this whole thing.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, it's been said that Coinbase getting 100,000 new users a day. Bitrex, a website that deals with altcoins, halted taking on any new accounts.
This whole thing has just got scammed. I don't know. We should probably make a bet at the beginning of the year in the first show. When is this whole thing going to give up the ghost?
I mean, I think that there's a lot more legs if people are going to continue, especially if they're moving into these altcoins now. Now they're starting with the Bittrex and Bitfinex and Binance. They're moving into these other websites that have these altcoins, these crazy, ridiculous things. And they're moving up, you know, some of these 50% a day, you know, crazy moves.
Yeah.
And they're it's all financed by Bitcoin. They buy the Bitcoin, they transfer the Ethereum, they transfer it over, they sell it into the Tether, then they buy this or buy it. There's these waves that come. So you get
sure there's some people making money on this.
They can make money on this, but I have no picks for this week.
I don't either, curiously.
Yeah, it's the end of the year. Why get involved? You know? But
well, I will say at least the last two, the last three picks I made all made money right away.
Yep. You had a short up 22%. You had Discovery Communications up 7%. It was like the day after Discovery got major legs, by the way. Viacom up 3%. Barnes & Noble up 4%. Five Below up 38%. And we got a few things that were kicked off, like Stamps. The short was down 8%.
This is your Stamps.com play.
Edison International was interesting because PG&E, if you remember, that was another company that was blamed on the first round of fires in California.
Right.
It dropped down like crazy. I mean, like crazy. And then it picked back up and started going back up and things looked like it was going to, you know, straighten out a little bit. I don't know what happened last week. I guess I have to track the news on this, but I guess maybe somebody said, well, yeah, PG&E, you were a big part of this. And the stock got cracked again that took down EIX again.
Wow.
So there's something going on there that obviously these
California. Well, my disappointment is CSX. I thought that they would hang in there.
Well, the problem is the CEO died. The guy that was doing the turnaround that just got in there over last weekend.
I guess
weekend.
That's why this, yeah. Maybe he was killed.
No, I think he has some bad cancer or something.
Oh.
He was a young guy too. Huh. I'm pretty sure it was CSX. Yeah, it was CSX. He was turning around the company when he got in there. Everything was going great. And I wonder if he was one of the insiders. That'd be weird. Yeah, that was not foreshadowing anything there.
I can't remember who it was that was the insider.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll end it here.
Okay.
And we'll come back in 2018 with a bang.
All right.
All right. I'll see you.
Okay, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.